All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Oilers Nation Radio, episode 194. Bag Milk, Dan, Rick, Tyler, the gang's all here. We're in a good mood today.
Very.
Big win last night for the boys. Game 6, bringing it back home for game 7 tomorrow, which is Saturday. It's Friday, May 13th. We got a whole lot to talk about. But as we do every week for our friends at Oodle Noodle, 17 locations and counting. I was talking to Jay about that when we were down in LA, Tyler.
We've taken over.
As we do. Mm-hmm. We start off with our delicious debate for our friends at Oodle Noodle. Check them out at oodlenoodle.ca or follow on Instagram at Oodle Noodlegram for all of my delicious noodle memes. I put them there. Wanya does too. Tyler, what is this week's delicious debate?
This week's delicious debate. Well, last time we recorded, it was 2-2. Now the series is 3-3. One game was bad. One game was good. The delicious debate. What was the biggest difference for the Oilers from game 5 to game 6?
Challenge here, boys. Let's try and come up with different answers, but I see Danny's already got his mouth open, so I'm going to give it to you first, pal.
Yeah, it's the start. And like, how has this team not figured out that the start is where we need to start and we need to be ready to go and we need to get an early jump on the game? You need to get some pucks on quick. And that was the difference for me, was the start of the game.
You need to get to quickly.
Rick?
You know what? Dan's right there. It's how you start. But at the same time, you got to get pucks on net. Like, yes, you can start however you want. Mm-hmm. They need to get the puck on the net. Quick is not solid. He's not. Yeah. We've seen it. You just get the puck on him. And the second game, I believe it was, we had 4 goals that went in off deflections. Just get the puck to the net. It's very simple.
Tyler, what do you think?
The biggest difference, we're taking out starts. We're taking out pucks on net. I'm going to say the 11-7 approach. It allowed you to play Connor McDavid way more.
Yep.
And like, Connor McDavid right now is just going absolutely supernova, and it's unbelievable. So you had McDavid last night played 24 minutes total in that hockey game. Like, that's crazy. I guess it's similar.
I guess it was similar to
how you played it, or the minutes wise in game 5, but you got to throw him out there with some different looks and things like that. So I'm just going to say Connor McDavid alone was a massive difference maker again in game 6.
I wonder if he felt a little throwback to the Tippett era when he often played over 24 minutes.
Yeah.
You know,
legs aren't used to it.
Biggest difference for me is that if we're eliminating the other three, having the nuclear option to start, that's what everybody's calling it, Connor and Leon together, the Kings had a hard time with it, and understandably so. I don't think it's a long-term strategy you necessarily want to stick with, but when your back's against the wall and you need to land a punch, that's a pretty damn good one to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? They need that early goal too, though.
Yep.
Like when they get that goal, the first goal, whether it be in the first period or in the third period, they play better after. Yep. It's like it releases some sort of stress or tension or something like that. They get that first goal and then everybody feels better. They play better. They play more confident and they loosen up. And yeah, it's just a much better game.
One thing I noticed last night too, so Connor opened the scoring a minute and 40 in with that wraparound on Jonathan Quick. I noticed the Oilers were looking at a lot of wraparounds last night. So clearly they've seen something in Quick in net.
Moving them laterally.
Where they're trying to get that done.
And I was going to say too, I think I noticed them shooting short side a lot too, like from those tight, impossible angles, they're trying to go over his shoulder. And I think that that's trying to hold him to that post so that then now the wraparound is even more effective.
Well, and also just like Rick said, getting shots on net in general, incredibly important, because I've been saying it all series long. Sometimes you just have to fire and create some chaos.
He's floppy in the crease right now.
And he's leaving garbage to pick up right around the crease. Yep. And that's been a thing all series. So to have the Oilers firing from everywhere last night to start it off, we need to do that even more so tomorrow night at Rogers Place.
And the defensemen have to get their shots through. Like in game, what did we just play? Six? So game five, I believe there were a lot of block shots from the by the forwards.
And our first period last night wasn't perfect anyways, right? Like after that first goal, there seemed to be a little bit of a lull and the Kings started to push back again. So again, they haven't had the greatest of starts yet. So why not do that in game seven?
It's weird. We're going to be a team that has to like call a time. The only team out there has to call a timeout after our own goal. How many times have you seen us score and the other team come back and like hand us that first shift? Like just call a quick time on your boys. And
another obvious difference. Sorry, Tyler, cut you off. Mm-hmm. Got to give some love to Mike Smith last night. 30 Sweet. Saves and a 938. He outdueled Jonathan Quick at the other end. 33 saves and a 917. He needed a big game. I'm not hanging game five on him at all, but I think there's probably a couple of goals he wanted back. Last night, there was no such thing. The goals that the Kings scored, the Durzi on the power play, that's through what? 5-6 bodies?
Yeah, pretty much the entire Kings team.
The second goal that tied it in the third period, that I hang more on the players out in front of him not covering their lanes than I do on Smith, because that was just a nice passing play by the Kings.
Yep. And I'll add one more difference in there, and maybe this is the one I should have gone with. But I thought the depth pieces on the Oilers actually played like pretty well in this hockey game. You know, the McDavid, Drysdale, Yamamoto trio played 12 minutes and 43 seconds together at 5-on-5, outshot the Kings 11-6. The second highest trio for time on ice was Nuge, Derek Ryan, and Josh Archibald. And they broke even with the LA Kings. And how often have we said that where, you know, there are going to be games where McDavid and Drysdale can take over and everyone else just has to fucking break even and not get caved. And I thought our depth pieces actually, for the most part, did a pretty good job of being like, hey, Connor's going tonight. Let's just break even, boys. And we got this thing. That might not be the case in game seven. You might need him to actually contribute and score. But for game six, it was enough.
And I guess if another difference, the boys were back to hitting everything that moved last night. Josh Archibald, we've taken a lot of shots at him over the last season, you know.
And usually he doesn't take shots.
Exactly. He was throwing his body around like a missile. No matter where he was hitting, he was connecting. And I thought that was infectious throughout the team.
We need it. You see it in the playoffs all the time, man. You need that type of a player out there. And it helps the other guys start playing like that as well.
And I think it's something as well where you're wearing down the opposition still, right? And, you know, maybe the hits don't hurt in game one, two, and three. But now that you're in the back half of the series, I think some of these young, inexperienced defensemen on the Kings, when they get hit, it sits with them a little bit longer.
And they're not big guys back there either by any means on LA. So yeah, keep laying the body, keep throwing the body at them and just keep wearing them down. Like Tyler said, I think that's going to be hugely important as we go into tomorrow for game seven. Anybody else? Differences? 5 and 6?
No, it's just, it felt like a bit of an effort. The other thing that I like too, and maybe they showed this in game five too, but the resiliency, right? Yep. You're up 2-0. Okay. You just gave up two goals in an elimination game. You're on the road. The arena's loud. And they just seem to kind of put their head down and be like, we're not going to cave. And for me, sitting at Beercade last night, I was standing there with, you know, 9-10 minutes to go. And being an Oilers fan, being a sports fan that's had his heart broken a few hundred times, I was sitting there being like, how is this not going to go our way? I was like, what's going to be the bad bounce? What's going to be the moment that just doesn't let it work for us? And sure shit, that moment ever came, because the bounce went to the Oilers and Tyson Barrie finding a way to sneak one past Jonathan Quick. So it was just great to watch a game where they got the bounce and they got the tight win. It was awesome.
Well, and you mentioned the name Tyson Barrie there too, but I think all the defense really stepped up in the absence of Nurse and yeah. just played solid minutes where nobody had really any big gaff. I a lot of people were mentioning Kulak's name as a guy that really stepped up.
He played well.
Obviously playing in.
And he was chucking spot. His body around too. He had some big hits last night.
Yeah. Get his name on a contract right now.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, so Broberg obviously didn't play a lot. He only played 315 at 5-on-5, but I like that point about how evenly the minutes were dispersed. Like at 5-on-5, CeCe was just over 19. Kulak and Keith were both around 17.5. Bouchard was at 15.5. Barrie was at 16. Russell was just under 13. Like, there wasn't anyone who was like, oh, damn, you got to play him 27 minutes to survive this game. It was a collective group effort. Kulak was great, but I think it was a real collective group effort to overcome the loss of Darnell Nurse.
Another guy I got to give a shout out to is the Cowboy made his appearance back in the game last night. He hadn't played in a couple. That guy, his body must just hate him at some point, because there is nothing he won't do to throw his body in front of a shot. I think about that one on Kopitar. Oh. Where he just kind of like trapped it almost like a goalie between his legs. And I think a lot of the Oilers were doing what they could to get in front of pucks last night.
Chris Russell, game high, 4 blocked on shots. You know who was second on the Oilers with 3?
Connor.
No.
Kulak.
No.
It was my boy Nuge.
It was. It was your boy Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. 3 blocked shots for Nuge. A real impressive stat line for him. 3 shots on net, a hit, 3 blocks. And that's a giveaway, not a takeaway. But we'll ignore that last one.
85% of the draws for the kid last night.
85% on the draws, correct. 3 minutes and 23 seconds of shorthanded time on ice. No Oiler was out on the PK more, including defenseman, than RNH. That's what, when people shit on him at 5-on-5, like, I get he hasn't been like insanely productive, although he does have
so many things.
He's like 3.5 minutes of shorthanded time on ice. That's good. That brings value. That means you're not putting Drysdale and McDavid out on the PK. That means when the penalty kill ends, 97 and 29 are jumping over the boards to attack an either tired Kings top unit or a depth line on the Kings. There is value in that 3.5 minutes, even though it's not one of the goals being scored.
He's really good at it too. So it's not like he's out there getting the scored on. He's out there and they're keeping the puck out of our net.
I know this is trying to be positive the whole time, but I'm getting really sick and tired of people saying he's a good player. If you take away this thing, though, there's an issue. It's like, no, these are good players. Yeah.
Period. Stop. End of sentence.
I also like when you look beside him and he's got, like, I know we just gave Josh Archibald some props, but it's not like, so he's a fucking offensive dynamo on his side. And we're like, well, this line's not creating any offense. And you're like, okay, well, there's a little context there.
Archibald, actually, I know, like, we're being nice to him. Like, he had a couple of good scoring chances, too.
Although I am going to shit on him a minute. Because he almost gave me a heart attack when he missed the empty net.
Oh
yeah.
Again, that was one of those things where I was dreading the bounce that was going to kill the Oilers. And when he missed that, I was like, there it is. This fucking game's going to go to overtime. And we're going to have to spend a 20-minute intermission sitting here talking about what if.
Oh,
thankfully, didn't matter. Connor made a nice defensive play in his own zone, passes it up to Evander Kane. He closes it out and the beercade crowd went bananas.
Insane. So to wrap up the delicious debate, we kind of said Connor made a big difference. The hot start, lots of shots on goals made a big difference as well. You talked about Schmitty. How confident are we? Because it was a tight game. They had a lot go right. 4 things went real right for them. How confident are we that those 4 things can go right again on Saturday night?
Here's the thing. Like, if you play like that last night, if you do it again tomorrow, you've got a really good chance of giving yourself this series.
Yep.
And I still don't think last night was the Oilers' A-plus game or A-game. No. It was their B-plus game. Mm-hmm. There were some times where the Kings hemmed them in. There were missed opportunities for the Oilers in front of the net. Remember early in the game, Drysdale just missed that backdoor pass? Oh, my God.
Would have been a blowout.
There was also the weird Evander Kane non-goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still don't really understand why that wasn't a goal, but... You know, I also, how about the big giant balls on Woodcroft to not challenge that play? Post game that Jeremy Kuppel said it probably get called back. Cause if you remember, I was thinking about it afterwards, Tyler, remember when we were at LA, we were watching Pittsburgh, New York, and they had a very similar one where it was challenged and it was still no goal. So I wonder if that came into play last night as well. even though I still don't understand. Like, Hyman went in, maybe a minor bump, like maybe Quick does a yard sale and then he just starfishes in the crease. How long are we allowed to give him to get up before we're allowed to touch the puck again?
2 to 3 business days.
Wasn't that a rule or a thing last year where a couple goalies got dinged for just laying there and not attempting to get back into the play? Like,
I don't know.
I don't know if that was
going to be the still, and I've said this earlier today, I still think that defenseman initiated contact both was low, underneath the goal line and drove him into the goalie. Like, he was going to go through the crease. No doubt about it. He's going through the blue paint, but he wasn't going to make contact with the goaltender until he got like kind of pushed into that area.
I still don't get it. And not only did I not get it, having that goal called back hurt my DraftKings.
Oh, yeah.
It's also upsetting.
I feel you.
But way she goes sometimes. There you go. The delicious debate for our friends at Oodle Noodle. It's Friday afternoon. If you don't want to cook, or maybe tomorrow ahead of game 7, you want to build yourself a fort made out of spring rolls and eat your way out. That's what I like to do. That's how I spend my time. Go on DoorDash. DoorDash will bring it right to your door. Ding dong.
Ding dong.
There you go.
Great meme last night with Evander Kane holding up the 7. And it was like when you're trying to remember how many spring rolls you're supposed to order from Oodle Noodle.
Yep. There you go. So let's talk about that for a second. Evander Kane holding up the 7. Some people liked it. Some people did not like it.
Some people thought Connor McDavid was mad about it. I don't think I buy that.
What do you think?
It's fine. Let's show some swagger. Adrian Kempe scored and he held up the fingers to the ear.
So he was doing the ear thing. Was that a shot at like Ryan Whitney and his bet? Or was he like, hey, just calling out to the crowd, like pointing to his ear? Because he was like he wasn't doing the Hulk Hogan over his ear. He was literally pointing, almost pointing to his ear lobe.
Nah, I think he was just saying like, come on.
I think I read that on Twitter somewhere. Yeah. I was like, you know what? So I went back and looked at it again. And I was like, dude is sitting there with his index finger just pointing to his earlobe.
I also don't think it's like Evander Kane did much of like a bragging thing. It's like, see you in game 7. Like,
and also,
they're literally going to game 7.
Yeah. And also, like, if you're going to be someone who's mad about that and be like, oh, come on, it's a bulletin board material for the Kings, blah, 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 blah. That really doesn't have any outcome on the game. Like, if you're not already fired up for a game 7, it's not like the Kings were going to go into their room and be like, well, this is going to be a dud. And then they're like, oh my God, look at what Evander just did. Let's get him. Also, the fan base is loving it. So if you're going to be one of those people who's shitting on it, like, come on.
Who in the press conference after the game thought that he was referring to the fact he had 7 goals?
Evander, are you ever referring to the fact that you have 7 goals in the series? That's he's like, what?
That's the dumbest thing I've fucking ever heard of.
I just liked the idea of him sinking the empty netter and then doing the mental math very quickly, by the way, as he wraps around. He goes, well, I thought it was a 2 that one, and I got 2 tonight. And then he's like, oh.
Yeah. 7, suck at Staples Center.
So stupid. How do you sit there and ask that question?
I don't know.
We're a fan base that has chanted, we want the cup. At the end of like one playoff win.
Man, I was chanting that in February.
We're a fan base that chants, yeah, we want 10 all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But yet the players can't have a little fun and a little swagger when they score a goal late in a game to ice it.
I don't know. I thought, like, you know what? If you're talking about bulletin board material, how about Leon Draisaitl getting basically horse collared by Anderson in that scrum?
That was terrible.
And I'm calling it a slew foot.
Yeah.
And dragging him down from behind. Like, first of all, how is that not a call? Okay, maybe you give you can give the refs some benefit of the doubt because there's 20 people in there.
Yeah.
But come on. One thing I want to ask you guys, though, were you anybody as annoyed as me that the Oilers defenseman stayed out just because of the faceoff? Like, if I want everybody in the pile, when it's Connor and Leon and everybody's on them, I want everyone in the pile and I want your first punch to be a drop kick.
It's an elimination game. I think you got to be a little more careful.
You don't want to take a penalty and you don't want to lose the offensive zone draw, I think, right?
Yeah. I think, and I don't think it was, other than the fact he got pulled down like from behind like that, it was not a terrible scrum. It was just kind of a average scrum, I guess, but
unless he's actually hurt, because he is. Yeah, obviously he's hurt, but like, how bad is, like, if that's a ankle thing, as an example,
yeah,
what is it like when that skate comes off?
Well, hopefully it doesn't balloon up too big. I mean, that was
I'd be leaving the skate on until Saturday, just to be sure.
Just walking through security in the airport with your skate cards on.
Just get one of the guys to take the blade off. Like, it'll be fine.
I just don't get why we don't turn about fair play here and just do the same thing to Kopitar in our zone or Deneau in our zone.
Cause we'll get fucking called for it knowing our luck.
Well, to me, it's like this team, that's where we need to start doing it is identifying what they're doing and do that back. No, we'll respond to it.
We can do that in next October, next November, whenever we play them again in the regular season. Right now, there's just too much on the line. I get it. Trust me, I want to like crawl through the TV and deal with it, but
yeah, I get what you're coming. Like if it was game 63, Dan, I'd be like, oh yeah, you go take a number, you fuck up Kopitar, but you can't risk going down like Smith sticking Athanasiou in the nards. Like,
are you not allowed to do that?
Yeah, maybe.
Dude, I still don't think he got him that hard. Man, did he roll around. Like these guys. Yeah.
Like, Hollywood, baby.
They're playing soccer rules out there.
Well, and that's what I don't understand is last night the refs were like, there was no game management apart from trying to game manage the Kings into a tie game, in my opinion. Like how?
Kaliev at that center ice. I thought for sure we were going to get a fucking call. Just an accident,
Rick.
Just an accident. Brutal. And Connor gets leveled.
I can tell you the number of times my insurance adjuster has just been like, listen, it was just an accident. It was just an accident. It's all good.
I like the point you made before we started recording about Yamamoto too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, then Yamamoto does it 8 minutes later. And I mean, Yamamoto did not try to hit him on the leg. That was an accident. So I don't know why that call went against him. The guy was very clearly trying to hit the guy in the chest and he moved. It's an accident. I don't know what we're doing here anymore, refs.
Ryan Nugent-Hopkins gets the weakest cross-checking penalty of all time.
And he didn't mean to take a penalty. It was an accident. Exactly. So why couldn't they cut him the same slack they cut Kaliev? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it's ridiculous.
Such a fucking joke.
Nuge just gave a little push. Like this is the playoffs and the Kings are just yard sailing everywhere. Drives me crazy. But they got the job done. And soccer you can't worry about the refs really. Yeah.
Well, and that was the one thing that I took away that I really liked was that the players weren't really bitching about it the whole time.
They just kept going
for it. Now Woody gave them a little bit of an earful at the end of the game. And that's good to see. But yeah, the players played through it and they let us fans be mad about it.
As these officials though, do you not look back and like just kind of judge yourself? Do you not go back and watch your own game?
Do you listen to this podcast afterwards, Rick?
Does somebody not from the league? Yeah. At least fire a text. You'd be like, listen, boys,
guys, I don't know. What's going on, you missed a couple.
There's a review process. Yeah.
But like, when the fuck does it happen?
Do they not feel bad?
Yeah. How do you not feel bad about that?
We are impartial in our analysis.
I think they'll find out when they get the second round assignment.
Whether you're allowed to go or not.
All of a sudden their paycheck is. Yeah.
Oh man. Skilleter was in the playoffs in the first place.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean shit.
You hate Skilleter.
I can't stand the guy.
Let's hope they call it in game 7. Cause I know you can't worry about the refs, but it will have an impact. If the Oilers get 4 power plays or if they get 1, that could very well decide the hockey game.
They just got to come out and score 2 in the first period.
Sure. Let's go,
but come out and play in the first period.
They're down. They also have to maintain some discipline as well.
Yep.
I know it's not going to be easy. There's going to be a lot of emotions. Rogers' plays is going to be absolutely smash and bumping tomorrow, but you got to make sure that you're playing your game. You can't walk into the Kings trying to goad you into penalties with that shit.
Yeah. No, I don't think they will. They'll come out and they'll play their game. And
I talked about it after. So one thing that was a difference, I guess we're going back to the delicious debate a minute. Like I noticed Evander Kane, I thought did a better job of that last night. In game 5, I thought he was getting too mixed up in the bullshit and trying to like cause mayhem, which part of me likes, but there's just also a time for it.
It's that thin line and he's kind of going a little bit too far on the other side of it.
I thought that last night he did a better job.
When he comes in fist blasting, it turns into bad news every time. Like you're right. He needs to come in with a light hand and just talk about it a little bit.
Cause he is who he is.
But as soon as he shows up and starts swinging, everybody starts swinging and they point right at him and give him an extra 2.
Do you think there's anybody happier that the Oilers won last night than Darnell Nurse?
Oh, right. Like that.
Yeah.
That's a long summer for Doc if they lose that hockey game by 1.
Yep.
Me. I'm happier.
I'm happier too. Well, of course.
Would he have traveled with them?
I would have.
Yeah, you got to.
Right. You'd imagine there. So I would imagine he is the first guy giving high fives when they come into the locker room.
He was giving big ass hugs, man. No high fives, just big hugs and kisses on the cheek.
I expect him to play the best game he's played all season.
But he's got to keep it reined in too.
Yeah, you do. But I expect him to just be, show us your $9.25 million defenseman in game 7.
Yeah.
And he hasn't shown that. I think partially because he's banged up. Fuck. Maybe now that we've put game 6 behind us, maybe it's a blessing in disguise. The guy just got 3 days off, didn't have to play. Maybe he'll be rested, ready to go. And he could just go out there and ball.
I'm going to ask you guys a question. But first I want to give a shout out to our friends at Cornerstone Insurance. If you go to cornerstoneins.ca, there you will find all of the insurance products you could ever hope to need. Auto, residential, commercial, life insurance. It's all there. And if you go on, they have instant quotes available now these days. Just go get yourself a quote. And if you're a citizen of the nation, there is a button there for you. Again, that is cornerstoneins.ca, cornerstoneins.ca. Asking you guys a question now. We were talking about it a little bit before we started recording. Two potential elimination games last night that I want to talk about. Leafs had a chance to move on in Tampa. They lost in overtime. Kings had a chance to close it out at home. They lost coming back to Edmonton for game seven. Who do you think's feeling better going into their game seven?
Leafs or LA?
Leafs or Oilers?
Oh, Oilers. Oilers
for sure.
It's a tough way to lose to Tampa, especially because Tampa came back and tied it in.
But the Tampa's Tampa.
Tampa's Tampa.
Right. I mean, when you're losing if you're losing, maybe Boston be a different, but Tampa's Tampa. They're the 2-time champs.
Yeah. They planted a seed of doubt. That's for sure.
Well, I think that seed's been there for a little while.
Well, it's
a large tree by now.
Post game, they were asking Austin Matthews about it, and they're like, well, another game seven. Yeah, that doesn't really grow on so well. And he's just like, you got to ignore it. You got to ignore it. But how can you ignore it?
Yeah. No, it has to be in your head.
Because if I'm a guy like Pat Maroon, I'm fucking skating by the bench and I'm saying it all day.
Game seven.
For sure.
Game seven.
What are they? They said Matthews and Marner 0-8 in elimination games.
Yeah, in the Matthews Marner era, they're 0-8.
That's so crazy.
I think they're due for a game seven win, though.
I think they win tomorrow.
I think they win tomorrow too. I do. And like at home in Toronto, you know, they'll get last matchups and.
Yeah. I can't see them choking, but I'm more concerned about the 8 o'clock game.
I'm more concerned about the 8 o'clock game. I'm also more concerned about number 29. He is battling it. So last night during the first period, that scrum happened. He gets pulled down. TSN's Ryan Rashog was tweeting about Leon's back down the tunnel, came out for a shift back down the tunnel. And I just remember we were at Beercade for the viewing party and the kind of like the murmurs in the intermission. I was like, oh fuck, Leon's gone. And then there he is at the start of the second intermission. I don't know if I've ever been happier to see his face.
Just a sense of relief.
Whew.
Yeah, like every time you write, like you check Twitter, and it's like, oh, Drysdale's gone. And then you'd see him on TV, you're like, oh my God, he's back and all that. Like, he's not at 100%. And I know we say it's the playoffs and no one's at 100%, but I think from watching him in game six, like he's probably not even at 80% or 70%.
Good news is that Drysdale at 70% is still better than most people.
He's got like 8 points in six games.
So I'm just hoping that, I don't know, like a little bit of rest, recovery. Hope that skate boot's still on, you know? Pop the blade off, make it through security.
He has one checked bag and it's skate blade with a little thing wrapped around it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we talk a little bit about the lineup then in game seven?
Let's talk about it. Oof.
What do you do? So you got Darnell coming back. Do you stick with the same thing and Nurse replaces Broberg?
I think you want to keep the Cowboy in.
Or is there a little part of you that goes, Warren Fogle should be pretty fucking fired up to play in a game seven on home ice after, you know, kind of being shown that we don't need you in the lineup, Warren.
I think you know what you're getting out of Chris Russell and you're hoping you know what you're going to get from Warren Fogle. And in game seven, I think you need to take what you know.
I think that tomorrow night's game is one of those ones where we need everybody on board, everybody sacrificing for the same goal. And you are never, ever going to question Chris Russell's effort in that regard.
And that's a good point too. I think I agree. I think I would go 11-7 because at the end of the day, a forward who you're going to play 5 minutes at 5-on-5 because you just want to play Connor and Leon 25 plus minutes tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's less valuable than a defenseman who could kill penalties for 3 minutes.
Exactly. And also I really like the idea of slipping Supernova Connor in on extra shifts. I mean, you could do it at 12-6 anyway.
Yeah.
But
it's different.
You spread the minutes.
Less of a waste when you're going. If you're going to do that at 12-6, there's a wasted guy. There's and a grocery stick on the bench, right?
You get a penalty. Your defenseman takes a penalty or something like that. You still got the extra defenseman. I think it's a safer move.
Dan, what are you doing?
I don't know. I'm trying to be a contrarian.
The redemption story of Fogle getting in the lineup is interesting.
It's good. I look at the forward group and I hate the Dave Tippett feeling of that lineup.
Yeah.
With the 11-6, where it is just, you know, it's on you, Leon, it's on you, Connor, it's on you, Nuge, to make it happen.
Well, the first time they did 11-7 though, they were putting Yam was getting extra ice time. Yep. McLeod was getting extra ice time. I think it's, even if they do 11-7, you have options on who you want to put out there.
Yeah. I guess there's still my old brain in play and I still want
to. Well, we've been hurt before.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But tomorrow's a new day. Looking forward to it. Game 7, Rogers Place is going to be electric. I cannot wait.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. Any other changes you're making? Even trios, combos, anything like that?
Miko Koskinen.
Could you imagine? Miko, you're in.
I sent out a tweet. This is just an aside. I sent out a tweet before we recorded before we recorded the pregame show. And I was like, send me your boldest predictions for game 6. And about 15 minutes before puck drop, someone replied to it. And their prediction was Smith has a last minute injury and Koskinen has to start. So I see the tweet notification on my phone. And I'm like, oh, what's Twitter saying? And I just read the text first. And I'm like, oh, my God. Geez. Thank God. Yeah. Scared the hell out of me. But no, I don't think the one big decision is whether or not you want to give Fogel a redemption shot or if you feel confident enough going with 11-7. I think from kind of the logic we've tried to pour into our conversation here, 11-7 is probably the way to go.
Yeah, but the only thing against it, I think, is that you're not playing those 11 forwards a lot of ice time, right? Like, yes, it's not getting a ton. I highly doubt Zach Cassian got a ton. You're now playing nine forwards.
So last night, if we're looking at strictly at ice time,
9-9.
Yeah. Puljujarvi was a team low 530. Cassian was 657. So they're not.
What's Arch and Ryan?
Derek Ryan played 1441 and Archibald 1527.
Right, so yeah, you're two guys right there that were combined, you know, less than 11 minutes. It's,
Yeah, and I'm just looking. You talked about trios and stuff like that. The Oilers had 8 trios take a shit, 8 different combinations.
Take a shit together.
Yeah, take a shit together. 8 different trios of players friendship. Take a shift together. That means at least 25 seconds time on ice at 5-on-5. And of that group, they only had 4 of them either break even or outshoot the Kings. So I think, you know, maybe you look at those numbers and like a trio like McDavid, Puljujarvi, and Cassian, they were on the ice for 55 seconds. They somehow got outshot 3-1 in that span, right? So I think you can maybe look at some numbers and be like, all right, if we're going to go 11-7, there's trios that maybe work and that maybe don't. McDavid, Kane, and Hyman, 425 together, outshot the Kings 7-2, outscored them 2-rip. I think part of that, or one of them must have been the empty netter. But still, like, you know, that trio right there, you're like, hey, that looked pretty good. Maybe you kind of go to them a little bit more. But yeah, I think you're not worried about who's getting what ice time in game 7. You're just going. I think after the first 5 minutes, Woodcroft will have an idea of who's rolling and who's not. And the bench is going to be cut short pretty quick.
Why do we think that Puljujarvi has gotten such little ice time right now in the last, well, I guess,
I don't think he feels very confident right now.
No.
But is he making blatant mistakes out there that you see? Is he doing something that the coaches don't want him to do? Is he like,
he's turning the puck over a little bit, I think. Yeah. And for a guy, like, to me, like, if I'm thinking about Jesa, you're not going to score, unless you're like Connor and Leon, you're not going to score register points every night. But what you can do is be an active participant in terms of how you play on the ice. And for a kid that's that big, I'd love to see him causing more mayhem. I know that's not necessarily his thing, but you also have guys like Connor McDavid, Ryan Nugent Hopkins throwing their body around. And I mean, it'd be nice if Jesa followed suit.
I thought the things that he does well aren't necessarily on the score sheet, but they would be helpful in these situations. You know, what he does down in the forecheck and how he plays. I didn't see anything glaring to reduce his minutes like this.
Tyler?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Rick on that one. I think like there's nothing.
Like, I'm surprised to see that he played.
Like, not like he's not coughing up that he didn't create a goal the other way. No. Like, nothing really bad. Not a bad penalty.
Like, I just see a lot of shifts. Like, I think of, and this one stands out to me, and maybe it's unfair to look at one shift and be like, what the hell? But it was like his second shift of the game in game 5. He went and ran into Nugent Hopkins. They collided. The play went back the other way and then he fell in the defensive zone. And I think he's
tripped over the blue line or whatever.
Yeah. And it was terrible. Like, okay. And then it led to the Kings getting some zone time, I believe. So it's like, okay. I think there's plays like that where the coach might just look at that and be like, I can't risk having you out there in a one goal game late.
See, and I thought that he had a shift with Connor and Kane in the third period in that game. And I thought we actually got a lot of momentum down low out of that shift. And I was like, okay, good. He put him back there. All right, let's get this line going again. And then he kind of disappeared.
And I agree. I'd play him more. Like the people who are like, time for a healthy scratching. I'm like, you don't healthy. No. Like Warren Fogle, in all likelihood, is not going to make a play that changes the game.
Warren Fogle is not going to be a healthy scratch last night if Nurse wasn't out and they needed the seventh defenseman.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair too. But like, you know, Warren Fogle, I don't have a big beef with healthy scratching him because he's not going to make a crazy dynamic skill play. Like his game's not at that point right now. With Jesse Puljujärvi, I've said this example a few times. He can go out there and he can do something that changes the tide of the game.
Yep.
He's has the ability to make a big play. He has the ability shown he can score goals this season. So I just look at that and I think I'd rather, you know, even if it's only 6.5 minutes, I'm okay with that for Puljujärvi. If the coach can't trust him, I can maybe understand that based on where his game is at right now, but I keep him in the lineup. I give him some offensive zone starts because I still think there's a little bit of magic in him.
Mm-hmm. I think he just needs to, I mean, obviously, it's easy for me to say, but like, go out and feel good about each shift you get.
Yeah.
Start getting a little confidence in your game. Maybe it's a hit. Maybe it's a good defensive play. Maybe it's a good stick. But like, we need to start rebuilding whatever's going on with him.
Yeah.
You know, because maybe he's hurt, but like, who is it?
Yeah.
Well, I did read somewhere on Twitter that he might be, I think it's Trina's oil or whatever, said he is having hip issues again.
Of course. Per, classic Trina.
As per Garfield.
Yeah. Garfield knows. Odie, not so sure.
No.
John, forget about it. Okay, so it is. We have reached the midway point of the podcast, so we are going to give a shout out to our friends at Buster's Pizza. Time for Ask the Idiots. You guys sent in some questions. The boys have not seen them. I'm excited to give them to you, and then afterwards, we will vote on who wins a gift card. Good? Good. Got it? Good. All right, first question. I'm going to start down at the end of the table. Tyler Yaremchuk coming down at you first. Do you keep Connor and Leon together for game 7?
Yes, you do. I've always said that is not a sustainable approach long-term. I think the Oilers' depth is better this year, but you need to win one game. So give those guys minutes. If you're going 11-7, there will be opportunities to play them apart. They played apart still a decent amount in game 6, even though they start on the same line together. I think that's perfectly okay to keep them together. I think it's even the right approach. And yeah, play them. Let's go.
Rick?
I have no issues with it. They're not just stuck to each other. So it's not like they're just line mates and that's it. They play their whatever, I think it was, what do you say, 12 minutes with Yam yesterday. Outside of that, they're also getting ice time with other guys. So I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Dan?
Spread it out. I want to see us go back to the lineup for the 8-2 win and just do it again. Do 8-2 win again.
I would like to see them, I guess I'm kind of a blend between everybody. I'd like to see them start together. That quick start is super important. And I feel like having Connor and Leon together is going to give us a very good chance of getting that hot start. Those guys can absolutely dominate shifts at will.
Yeah.
But if that works, if we start getting a little bit of traction there, then maybe you start to spread them out a little bit.
See, and I like just utilizing the moments in the game. Like last night, obviously we're on the road, so we didn't get the last change. Tomorrow, we're going to get the last change.
Yep.
I think you can really, if you, and Woodcroft's good at this. I think he can utilize this situation and maximize it.
Can I throw a little added point onto this question?
Please.
How much does the health of Leon Draisaitl factor into this? Because if Leon Draisaitl is 60%, 65%, and his leg's banged up and he can't skate as well as he can,
then you want him on the wing.
You need to play him on the wing. Like you can't, you play Nugent center, you go McDavid, Nugent down the middle.
You let him take draws and then shuffle over to the side.
Yeah, that's like you do stuff like that. And I think that has to be the way you do it. So I do think Draisaitl's health is dependent, but they did mix it up really nicely. So McDavid at 5-on-5 played 21-31 last game. 13-31 of that came at 5-on-5. I'm no mathematician, but that sounds like, you know, maybe 60-65% of his ice time was with Draisaitl. The rest of it at 5-on-5 was away from him.
Yeah.
It's a good mix.
Question number two, reversing the order. Dan, I'm starting with you. One non-obvious key to closing out this series.
Non-obvious?
Got to get creative here, boys.
We get bottom six scoring tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, like chipping in with some depth goals would be huge tomorrow.
Huge.
Like if a guy like Bouchard can clap one through, you know, that's going to help. Rick?
I think everything's obvious, but they just, you know what? Their special teams keep doing what they're doing.
Tyler.
Simple.
avoid bad icings and take advantage of their bad icings.
Ooh, yeah, you make sure you get the puck out when you're shorthanded too.
Yeah, like no, what I mean by that is kind of like no sloppy mistakes on your breakout, right? You can't have the big stretch breakout feed that misses and goes for icing. Like you need to be crisp getting the puck out of your zone. Yeah. You can't let things and zone opportunities for the Kings snowball into long cycles. You just got to be crisp. And you know what? The Kings, I think they're going to be worn down. They got to come back up to Edmonton. And I know both teams have to travel here, but there's a difference between when you're coming home versus when you're coming to sleep in a hotel room again. And I think the Kings might be a little sloppy. They always need to take advantage of when the Kings do things like ice the puck.
I do think it's about time that all of the Edmonton hotels at once test their fire alarms.
I remember doing like one.
And I always say, this is something I learned as a young kid, the best time to test your fire alarm if you're a hotel is 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, that's true. I've been thinking that too. Yeah. Maybe like just all of a sudden the AC just doesn't work. I don't know. That's really unfortunate.
We're really safety minded here. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. I want to make sure that everybody's safe.
Mm-hmm. Nice evacuation plan.
Yep.
Every hotel in the in Edmonton
or just one
actually has
one.
A bad case of the bed bugs. And the only hotel that's clean is the Super 8 in Wetaskiwin.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
It's terrible news. Hotel. Terrible news for the LA Kings.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But though. Safety first. Yeah. Can't bring bed bugs around.
Cars cost less there too.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yep.
I've heard
a new wit.
Mm-hmm. Non-obvious key for me. We were complaining about this last night. So tighten up the breakouts.
Mm-hmm.
It's your thing from last year. Respect the blue lines.
Respect the blue lines too. Like
both of them.
You really have to, because you can't give up the puck at yours or the other ones. Respect the blue lines 100%.
That little 4 foot gap on either side of each blue line, that's where you don't fuck around.
Danger if you're zone. Going, if you're at the opposing one, you better fucking pump that thing deep. I don't want any little soft chips here.
Turnovers at
the I don't want forwards flying the zone early. Let's make sure that we're supporting each other.
Yep.
Tighten that up. Respect the blue lines. I like that a lot. Question number three. As soon as game one ended, my brother and I agreed that we'd get Oilers tattoo if they win the cup. Would any of you like to join us? We live in the States, but I'll fly to Edmonton if need be. Rick?
If we win the cup, I've got plans. Yeah.
Tyler?
I'm scared of needles.
Dan?
My body is a temple.
I have shittier tattoos, so why not? Question number four. This is just a random one, so why not? Dan, I'm going to start with you. Yesterday on Real Life, we were talking about bananas. On
love
the Real Life podcast.
Liam after ate four bananas in a sitting.
In game five. Podcast?
No, during the game.
During game five.
Back to back. Or is like one in the first period, one in the second. Like they're a good snack.
Full of potassium.
Stress lowers his potassium level.
So they were talking about. Snack.
You're getting the answer right now.
Just get him to come in here real quick.
Yeah, come here.
Like one peel to the neck.
Listen, I enjoy bananas.
It's like lighting a cigarette with the next one, but that's what Liam was doing with bananas.
I love bananas, but you can eat them in different ways. There's the banana by itself. I like to take a banana, put it in a wrap with some peanut butter and some granola and eat it that way.
In a wrap.
So we got Liam here.
Tortilla?
Yeah.
A banana and a tortilla is some clutch.
Peanut butter.
Yeah.
Granola.
Okay.
And then roll it up.
I like that.
On. A little honey.
Yeah. Hold it close to your mouth.
So we just want to know, you said yesterday on the Real Life podcast that you ate four bananas during game five.
Yes. Can confirm.
Do you get cramps while watching?
Was this overtime?
No, I don't get cramps because I eat so many bananas.
What was the frequency? Were they like lighting a cigarette with the next one or were they spread out a little bit?
I'm not a chain banana eater. I had one like just before the game started.
Okay.
Then I had one the start of the second. And I had one like midway through the third. And I had one in the intermission of the overtime.
Liam heard us talking about BPP and wildly misunderstood it.
Yeah. Banana per period is sky high.
That's like Kawasaki from the Jays way back when.
Oh yeah.
That's great. Cramp.
You might as well stick in for the last two Ask the Idiots questions and hot and cold performers. Yesterday on Real Life, you guys were talking about the most about bananas relating to Mario Kart. I want to know which Mario Kart weapon would be the most devastating in real life.
I mean, the blue shell. Like, can you imagine driving to work and you're like, I am making great time. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh no. And you launch 30 feet in the air.
Yeah. Come on. You're driving down Jasper and all of a sudden you're on top of a building.
Yeah.
If the ones that shrinks you?
I don't remember what
power up that is.
Seems like a painful
but
process.
But it feels like, yeah. Cause then all of a sudden you're flattenable by everyone else.
Yep. That's no good.
Mm-hmm.
Rick.
Just give me that star, baby.
Oh, you want it.
You want the star. Driving on the, I will handle a lot of business on the white mud if I got one of those stars.
Damn straight, man.
Liam?
I would do the worst one, right?
Yeah, the worst one.
Would be like that black smudge.
The ink. You can't see.
On top of you.
Yeah.
That would suck.
Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you do not see anymore. Drive. Go.
Yeah.
Or if I'm looking in my rearview mirror and I see somebody with three red shells spinning around him, I know I'm in line for a bad time.
Or a giant. Someone doesn't give you the nice wave in the rearview mirror and you got shells on you.
Fire those things.
Buddy, you're firing them. I'm going to light you up.
A giant ghost just shows up in front of your car and steals stuff from it.
Oh, this is actually a question built for Liam. Oilers Nation just bought an F1 team, but you can only use players from the actual Edmonton Oilers to be your two drivers. Who you got?
This is easy.
I wouldn't do McLeod. I feel like he'd be reckless.
Yeah.
Like he just.
That's fair.
He goes fast, but he's all over the map.
But he's all over. I think McDavid. Obviously.
Sure. Precision.
And then I would do. Oh boy. Maybe.
Yuki Tsunoda.
No, because he crashes too much.
And he's not on the Oilers.
Yeah, he's not on the Oilers.
I would do Draisaitl. There's a lot of good German races throughout the history of Formula One.
Amen. Dan?
David and Draisaitl, you really went off the board there.
And he thought about it too.
First. I'm going to go with Yamamoto and Archibald because they're little tiny guys. And I just think weight is important in F1.
That's exactly the answer I was going with too. You need to get little guys. You got to grease up Leon to get him into an F1 car.
Yeah, but how many times Archibald and Yamamoto are taking stupid penalties?
Archibald's going to ram people off the tracks.
Yep.
Archibald's ramming people for Yamamoto to win.
Yeah, it's all good.
Tyler?
There's only one person on this team who has racing experience, and it's Ryan Nugent Hopkins. Granted, it's with a horse, not a car, but sure. I like to think something would transition over and apply.
And he's not.
Who's your other one?
That's just Nuge. That's my only answer. I'm going to, I don't know.
All right. I'm going to go with, I'll take Connor in this scenario. And then I'm going to give him the ultimate teammate in Ryan Nugent Hopkins, because there's those moments in F1 when the old boss tells you to move over and somebody's coming through. I don't think Nuge would get too bothered by it.
Huh?
He'll get his points.
Connor roster news from the LA Kings.
Uh-oh.
They've called up a goaltender.
It's Quick Hurt?
Uh-oh.
Who?
No, I'm guessing Cal Peterson probably tested positive for COVID or something.
But you don't know.
You're only saying that because you want it to be Quick and you're trying that psychology
stuff. I'm good with
Quick too.
John Hovind said Kings have called up Matt Villalta, told it's a quote precautionary measure.
Just like we did with not Skinner, but
Robert.
Rodriguez. Yeah, Rodriguez is on the roster.
How did you guys not guess him?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, by that point, to be honest, I had probably had too many beers.
You were drinking liters of cola.
I had a couple of liters of cola at that point.
Hyper.
I was full of juice. And I had just taken a beer in the melon. Maybe I wasn't thinking so clearly. You know? All right, there you go. Ask the Idiots questions, boys. So we got to do a little voting. Liam, I will let you sit out the voting just because you weren't here for the first three. So here are your options, boys. Who gets the winner? Who gets the GC from busterspizza.ca? One, do you keep Connor and Leon together? Two, non-obvious key to closing out the series. Actually, Liam, I'm going to ask you that one. What's one non-obvious key to closing out game 7?
Non-obvious?
Yeah.
If you say what we said, it was too obvious.
I don't know. Just not being stupid. Like, don't.
Wow. We didn't say that. Like, we didn't think to say that. I wonder why.
Stupid stuff. Like sparing someone in the groin when they're on the ground. Or
yeah, that's fair.
Someone in the last 2 minutes of a game.
That was an accident, Liam. And accidents make it okay.
What was your take on Connor getting leveled at center ice?
I thought it was a penalty. But the ref clearly saw it because he came over and said, are you okay?
Liam, it was an accident. And accidents happen.
Maybe he came over and just said, hey, what happened?
stop flopping around, Connor.
I was looking the other way and I just saw you laying on the ice.
Third question was Oilers tattoo. Fourth question, a Mario Kart weapon. And fifth question, the F1 team. Dan?
I'm going to give it to the tattoo just because they did that.
Respected. Yeah, I've got a plan. So yes, tattooed.
Tyler.
Mario Kart.
Oh, Mario Kart was good too.
I'm going to abstain. Tattoo gets the winner. So shout out to Robert. Robert, I will send you a DM as soon as we wrap up this episode. A couple other things. Connor McDavid was nominated as a finalist for both the Hart Trophy and the Ted Lindsay. It's just kind of like an evergreen thing. Seems to be every year.
I do enjoy watching the players kind of pick who they think is the best player and kind of stick it to the Raiders a little bit. Like,
yeah,
Raiders
Roman Yossi,
like, we know everything here, the three best, and their players like, nah, maybe not.
Roman Yossi got a shout out. That's a hell of a season he had.
It's a very, very good season.
I was going to say, do you guys think it's interesting that Shesterkin got an MVP vote, but Josi didn't? Are the players voted for Josi?
I've talked to a few people that have heart ballots, and it's, I think when we finally get a chance to see the way the voting broke down, you'll be surprised. Like, I think McDavid was left off some ballots. I think Matthews would have been fourth or fifth on some ballots. Shesterkin was probably left off ballots. Mm-hmm. And I just think it, I think it'll be very close. Like, whoever, the gap between three and six or seven on the eventual list is going to be like very thin.
I feel like, at least just, this is just my perception completely, but I feel like the Ted Lindsay goes to players because there is so much that the goalie can get.
To me, so. I think the Ted Lindsay is the award you want. I know everybody talks about the heart, but if I'm a player, I'd rather be voted by my peers than somebody who writes for it.
Yeah. We talked about this before, you know, if there was an award for podcasters, I'd like to win it from the people who also podcast, not I'll the listeners. Come on.
Yeah.
I'd
vote for you. I care wholeheartedly about these individual awards until we don't win them.
These are still the same guys who voted in Ovechkin as two separate positions.
Yes.
Whoa.
That is true.
Whoa.
How dare you since, call them
like
out
that's
on that.
That since then, I
it was an accident, Rick. It was an accident.
We didn't know.
That makes it okay.
We didn't know. We didn't know. Another news. Fuck the LA Kings. Let's just, you
know. Breaking news.
Go ahead.
Fuck the LA Kings.
There we go. We got a confirmation. All right. Hot and cold performers for our friends at Twig and Berries. Tyler is making his way over to the board.
My buttons guy, or are you doing it?
You guys do buttons?
I can do it. I'm here.
Liam is ready.
Sure.
Liam is ready. Tyler, do you have the plug for Twig and Berries?
Well, you can use the promo code NATION15, gets 15% off. And that right there is putting money in your pocket. So if you're sitting there and you're like, oh man, I got like, you know, a bunch of cabins I'm going to, I need to look good for the summer, I need to take care of myself.
Twig How do you Berries, have an array of cabins you're going to?
You know, maybe a couple different friends who got a couple different spots.
Tyler, big cabin guy.
I believe that's something to do with sports journalist or whatever. I mean, Bobby Mack. He gets out to the cottage, yeah. You know, I think all those guys do. So if you have a cottage now, man, you're like part of the group now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Twigandberries.ca, go check it out. Check out our friend Bearded Brad. He's all over the front page. Love that guy. Looks great. You can too. Twigandberries.ca. All right. Hot and cold performers time. Since we dragged Liam in off whatever he was doing before, we're starting off with our veggies. Liam, your first Twigandberries cold performer of the week.
Cold performer of the week. The officials. Make a call.
Yep. Yep.
I'm upset.
There we go.
Little Drake. Good job.
Hello, Drake. Nation Dan, your Twig and Berries cold performer of the week.
Well, thanks for taking the obvious one, Liam. My cold performer of the week, I just lost it. Oh, yeah. It's my bracket for picking the Minnesota Wild to go all the way. That's a real good performance you put up there, Minnesota. Enjoy your dead cap space, you hot cold performer of the week.
Are you thrilled? I'm not.
What about... I was surprised to see them start Dadbot instead of Fleury.
It's certain, like Talbot was so good down the stretch, but he hadn't played in 10 days.
Well, that's what I mean.
And the idea of giving up a second rounder for a starting goalie and then leaving him on your bench as you get bounced in round one is like,
It's like, who does he think he is? Louis Domingue, you know?
That's why I liked Minnesota so much though, is because I felt like they had a nice 1-2 punch that they could really just go back and forth and no problem.
But nobody goes back and forth.
And they also had zero fights, which is just dumb to me as that franchise, but not had anything to do with the business.
Rick, you're a Twig and Berry cold performer of the week.
If I can't give it to the officials, like I give it to Mikey Anderson for that one specific play on Leon. That's as dirty as trash and get it out of the game.
Also, added note, you're like an adult and you still call yourself Mikey.
Yeah, come on now.
Come on, figure it out.
You guys.
What?
Carver.
All right, I was like, okay, my first cold performer is going to be the officials. Okay, Liam took it, whatever. I'm like, okay, I'm going to give it to Mikey.
You're going to give it to my bracket too?
No, I was going to give it to Mikey Anderson. And then Rick gave it to him for the dry side thing. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be funny. I'm going to give it to Mikey Anderson for being an adult who goes by Mikey. And then you had to fucking chime in and take that one. So my cold performer is you guys for doing that to me.
Tyler's going to grab his computer and walk out now.
Oh, come on, Liam.
I do like that the guy that misses the buttons all the time with headphones on is like, come on, Liam.
Figure it out.
Get it going here.
Oh, yeah, you can't hear anything that's going on.
My Twig and Berries cold performer of the week is the fucking hater. Suck it. all of you that were throwing in the towel early, I hope you did not have fun last night watching the win with the rest of us. Yeah. And I hope you're mighty quiet when the Oilers win tomorrow night in game seven. To the haters of this hockey team that don't ever seem to want to cheer along, but only point out things that go wrong, you can go fuck yourself.
Yes. I like that.
I had a guy, I was at game five and there was a guy that left with about 15 minutes left to go in the third period. He's like, F this team, this effing team sucks. The Oilers effing suck. And then
we
came back.
Yeah, go ahead.
We came back and I found him up in the concourse in overtime, absolutely bagged. And I was like, don't come back. Don't come back, man.
Good. I'm so tired of that bullshit, man.
Yeah, I mean, the people who are being negative after game five are probably sitting there after game six being like, would have won by three or more if they would have done it.
They're still looking for, still looking for things to chirp about.
I hate that. And also, if I'm at a game, I don't leave until the buzzer.
Dude, we've been around. We've seen it. Was it 97, less than 2 minutes to go, down 3-0 to the Stars? Yeah. Bang, bang, bang. Go to overtime. Bang. That's great.
Sometimes it happens. Flipping the ledger, let's end off this podcast on a positive note. We are doing our Twig and Berries Hot Performers of the Week. Tyler, you're up first.
Oh, I'm going up first. You're putting me on the spot a little bit here. I'm going to say the people who came out to Beercade for game six and just had a hell of a time out there. The crowd was awesome. I met a ton of cool fans. Met my boy Adam, played him in pool. Almost beat him, but then I scratched on the eight ball. Classic. But we had a good time out there at Beercade, and we're doing another watch party Saturday, Pint on White. It is going to be an absolute fucking blast. That thing is going to be packed. So a Beercade and your romper.
The big guy is smoking hot.
Yeah.
Rally romper. Rick, your Twig and Berries Hot Performer of the Week.
Evander, seven goals, Kane. How do you not pick this guy? This guy's on fire. He's the goal scorer we needed. He's the goal scorer we have. And let's get through tomorrow and see what we can do next week.
Yeah! Nation Dan, your hot performer of the week for our friends at Twig and Berries.
I found this, the fine Dr. Aaron Patel on Twitter yesterday. And Dr. Aaron Patel is doing some great work down in I got the pronunciation here and everything. Mulawi. He's helping some kids with some eye and vision care, but he's also making Oiler fans out of them. So it's wonderful to see he's down in Mulawi making kids' lives better and also making Oiler fans. So Dr. Aaron Patel, you get my hot performer of the week.
He's a hot guy.
Shout out to Malawi. Liam, you're up next. Your Twig and Berries hot performer of the week.
My hot performer of the week is Josh Archibald. I'm not sure he actually knows how to play hockey properly, but he runs around the ice like he just wants to hit everyone.
I love it.
Moves.
You need that.
My favorite play of the series was when he had the puck in the offensive zone and skated it to center ice and took a change.
Why? Why? Yeah. Why'd you guys give me the puck?
Yeah,
that was weird.
Puck possession.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
I'm going to go. That's the easiest one. Our captain, Connor McDavid. He has, outside of the one game, he has had multi-point games every single game outside of one. He is doing everything he can to drag this fucking team forward. He is going supernova. He's playing defense. He's throwing the body. He's scoring big goals. He is wheeling Connor McDavid. Now and forever, my Twig and Berries Hot Performer of the Week.
It's getting hot in here.
I feel like as Oilers fans, we're almost numb to it, right? Like we're kind of like, oh, Connor's playing great. But like everyone needs to check in right now and be like, fuck, this is unbelievable. This guy is willing them to victory every night.
Did you see those smiles he'd have on his face after like the scrums and stuff?
Oh,
like he had those little fucking asshole smiles on. I loved it.
Another thing I love is he scores a goal, no celebration, all business.
Oh, buddy, it's game six. Doesn't matter.
Bet you we get a, if he scores
early, oh, tomorrow's going to be different.
We get a big McDavid. Let's go.
I want one of those ones where he loops the boards and stops in front of the other bench.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite.
Did you see his quote after the game when they were like, how does it feel when you have a performance like this? It's like, just doing my job.
Yeah.
Damn right you are, you beautiful son of a bitch.
I love him. I love him now and I love him forever. Also honorary, Twig and Berry's hot performer of the week. Tyson Barrie, you picked the perfect time to show up with a goal, my guy, because that was a sneaky one. Quick had no chance on it.
Boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
It's usually a cold
it's
one.
It's been up and down like a toilet seat.
Nope, that's also not a hot
up and down like a toilet seat.
Feeling.
You already played that.
That's okay. We'll take it again.
Feeling.
There we go. We'll take it again. Oh, great. Anything else?
I just want to keep talking about how good Connor McDavid is.
100%. All right, let's do wrap up the podcast with a quick score prediction for Game 7. It is going to be absolutely jumping at Rogers Place. It is going to be a great, great time.
That's right.
There he goes. Tyler's getting set. Liam, score prediction for tomorrow, Game 7.
I think it'll be 4-2 again, but the Oilers will be up 3-1 at some point.
Ooh. Nation Dan, tomorrow.
5-2 Oilers win.
Rick?
Oh, it sounds weird, but I'm going 6-2. Let's go.
Yes. 6-3 Oilers dub.
4-2 win, baby. That's how it goes for all of our friends at DoorDash, Oodle Noodle, Cornerstone Insurance, Buster's Pizza, and Twig and Berries. This is Oilers Nation Radio. Thanking you from all the boys. This got a big game tomorrow. Whatever you did last night, your routine, I need you to maintain that same for thing. Tomorrow. Same outfit, same spot you watched it, same people Let's you watched go. It with. Let's fucking go.
Shout out, Penny.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.